I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yes, it's now time for the Wednesday Night Delight, the NXT After Show, presented by AfterBuzz TV, Wrestling and Sports. Hello, everyone. My name is Flo Boyce, and a lot of things happened today. We got some Cruiserweight title tournament matches, some debuts. We have a little bit of more talents also making their mark here, but before we do all of that, before we get to every single dang thing that happened at the Performance Center, we gotta introduce our all-star panel. Introducing first, she is actually nominated for an Emmy. She was nominated for an Emmy back in the best. She's a correspondent for Championship Wrestling from Arizona. Give it up for Emily May.
Hi, everyone. Happy Wednesday.
And a guy that falls on his back and head for a living, stand-up comedian extraordinaire, give it up for Hamza Khan.
Hey, guys, thank you for having me again on the show. I'm so excited to talk about NXT.
Yes. You're coming from Orlando this week, right?
Orlando, down from the Performance Center, man. I'm coming at you live.
Did you go to the show? Were you like 6 feet away from the gate?
Is that how I right? tried to, but I think I got terminated before I even got started. So.
No, you could hear the non-cheaters.
I got you. I can't not mention this guy. The owner of RealTalker.com, Chicago Zone, Heel Jim, Jim Alexander.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens and marks out there.
Jim killed his husband. All right.
So no, I did not. No one's killed.
Uh-oh, that's a whole different show, guys.
That happens in Orlando. Okay, this kind of stuff happens in Florida, not here.
Florida man.
Hamza, be careful. You're in Florida. You're in Tiger territory.
Yes, I belong here, guys. I belong here, so I'm one of them.
Right. So NXT rolls on. I guess they didn't really have a pay-per-view schedule because there's nothing really happening, but there's things being set up for the eventual takeover, it seems. Just overall thoughts about today's episode, because we have some more Cruiserweight option, we have some debuts and all that fun stuff. Emily May, what do you think?
You know, I thoroughly enjoyed this episode. I was feeling a little like they were trying to find the groove of like kind of our new situation, and I loved it. I feel like this kind of round robin competition for the interim Cruiserweight championship is really, really great. I feel like it's a good strategy. I feel like you're seeing talent that we don't necessarily get to see in the ring very often, and they're getting paired with there's some interesting choices happening, and I thoroughly enjoyed what was happening. It was an emotional night for Drake Maverick, and I feel like all of us were feeling it. So I feel like it was a really, really good show tonight.
I know you're a professional wrestler. You know about work rate and all that stuff. The action seems pretty much on point, but these aren't quite the stars we saw a year ago. The thoughts about the show and those who are featured tonight.
Right, absolutely. I agree with Emily. You know, it's kind of a filler episode, obviously, but me just also being a wrestler, I kind of enjoy watching different wrestlers wrestle and kind of how they pick up with other opponents that they're with and kind of give them their chance to show their art off, right? So I like to watch with an open mind, which I enjoyed it. One of the things I really, really enjoyed this time and I really paid attention to was Drake Maverick, because they aired his video he made crying his eyes out about getting terminated. And I wanted to see how he would use that to maybe propel a storyline forward somewhere and maybe use that to get back into WWE's good graces, maybe continue forward somewhere there. I thought it was kind of smart to watch, and it's just seeing them all kind of work their magic and try to make something happen. Still enjoyed it, and I really appreciated it.
Yeah, Jim.
If you like the little guys, this was the perfect episode for you. This was 205 Live Extreme version. I mean, listen, it had good in-ring action. So if you're good on in-ring action, you got some good matches. And
thankfully, I am. Thanks, Jim.
Oh, thanks. I'm not. But I actually like bigger storylines, which we didn't see much of until kind of the main events, things started cooking up. But otherwise, it was just like a more wrestling-heavy show, which seems kind of rare now these days that, you know, we're starting to get into these heavy wrestling matches, longer matches, and matches, you know, where jobbers aren't getting squashed, are actually given opportunity to work. So I thought it was an episode with a lot of wrestling. So if you're into that, then cool.
Yeah, that's why we're here, right?
Well,
you're into wrestling.
You're kind of into wrestling, you know.
I'll tell you later what I was into. Something major happened in this episode, but we'll get
to it. So let's talk about the big story, I guess, as far as the where it hit on the internet. Drake Maverick seemed to be a part of the names of the talent that was released. He was released before this three matches he has to do in this round robin interim cruiserweight title tournament. And I felt like the WWE ran with it. He was on the bump this morning with a promo. It was a promo this tonight at NXT, and he had a match. And I don't know. I want your thoughts about this. I know this part about using real life events and making it part of a storyline, but is this going too far? Hamza, I'm going to start with you.
No, not at all. That's how you stay relevant in this business. A lot of people do the exact same thing. They try to go on Twitter and call somebody out or try to create a storyline that may be interesting to see on the actual show itself. It's all what wrestling is, right? That's we try to take our real life scenarios and amplify them for everyone to see. So very smart, in my opinion, on his end, because most wrestlers are, you know, I'm sorry to see myself go, or they're upset or whatever it is. Whereas he delivered something a little bit more, a little bit unique and different from all the other ones that got released. I mean, he seems to be the only one that did anything to try to make sure that his name sticks. So I respected it, man. I respect the hustle.
Oh, wow. But that's about the match real quick. Him against Jake Atlas today?
Yeah, I mean, he was going to lose. We all knew he was going to lose. That's what he was there for, right? Why pay him three times to do three matches when you can just pay him once and get him out of here and not hear him cry anymore? But maybe that was to prepare the story forward, because they did a post-match interview and he continued and he was, maybe everyone's right about me. He may come back as broken Drake Maverick. Who knows? So
yes.
Heartbroken.
A lot of really good spots in the match. I love watching it. Drake, you could tell, was going above and beyond to make sure he jumped higher and kicked harder than he needed to. But it delivered what it needed to, in my opinion.
Yeah. That's a good point, Emily. Jake Atlas won his match tonight. Yeah. Drake has two more matches in this round robin tournament. Mm-hmm. Do you think he gets out of there, even gets considered a part of the cruiserweight title match? Or is this kind of like the last three swan song out in your shield type deal for Drake Maverick?
I mean, for Drake Maverick, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm intrigued to see where they're gonna take this, because they're like, what's his swan song? Like, it, you know, he did this heartfelt promo online. They showed it tonight, you know, like Hamza said, that this was what everyone was talking about. And I don't know, like, art is imitating life, but now life is in art, in your wrestling art and your craft. And so how do you separate the two? It feels authentic. Like, I felt like those promos were very real. You were feeling the emotion. You were feeling the heartbreak that many wrestlers are feeling right now. And we're seeing it on our TV right now. And so I would love to see him go as far as he can go with this. I feel like this would be the story that he, and the moment that he could go out on. And it would solidify his place in NXT, and he could go anywhere or come back.
Jim, I'll ask you a question. I'm going to put you over here, brother. Jim, what I like about you, besides the fact you're honest and you straight shoot, is that you tend to be like our resident McMahon, right? Of what you saw in this match today, I know Drake Maverick is pretty much a finished product, but I want to talk about Jake Atlas. Here's a sign from the SoCal area, wants to break some barriers. He won tonight, if you want to be that. Do you see him as being a star, what you saw tonight?
Hell no. I don't even know who that mug was until we saw him in the match. I mean, here's the thing. I just think he's a generic wrestler right now, and he's way too still new to get over at this point or anything. I think just, listen, having him in this tournament is big enough for him for the exposure right now, just to put him on the map that he's around. I mean, I'm guessing he's more of a performance center talent at this point than he is a NXT roster or 205 kind of guy, I think. It's still
what does that mean in the Corona era, right? Like, everyone's kind of a performance center talent.
That's what he means. He gets a match, he gets on TV, which is a lot more than he would have gotten if he wasn't. As far as the Drake Maverick thing, I want to touch on, it's a work. I mean, I don't know how you guys don't see that. It's not a work. The guy has been a manager until he had made an announcement right before his cut on social media. He wants to get back into the ring, that he's quitting as a manager. He made that announcement subtly, kind of, that he wants to get back in the ring. And then, bam, he gets cut 2 days. Then he goes on the emotional thing. He was the first one to post something online about him
being cut. The only one that really actually did a video.
Yeah, immediately after his release. Yeah,
immediately, yeah.
And now he's getting vignettes. You see anyone else getting that? No. I mean, why would you promote someone? Emily, you mentioned him going out and, you know, to get good grace of another company. They don't want him to get in good grace of exposure of another company. It's the last thing they would want him to do. So I feel he's getting a lot of screen time and a lot of airtime and attention and he's getting different interviews and stuff, he's staying. This is just a work when it comes to him. But how do you,
so like a lot of the people on the chat think it might be a work, and I know a lot of people online were talking about it too, but how can, I have a really bad feeling that if it is a work, then why are you kind of taking advantage of that moment that other people are obviously not coming back?
Yeah. You know? No
and like, so I'm not saying that you're wrong, like you could be right, but my point is like, that would be like awful, even though this moment is, it was beautiful tonight, but in the end, if we find out, but like.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I agree. I don't think that's good taste at all in poor taste when people are actually losing mm-hmm. jobs that have been employed for a while, but here's the thing. They brought back Sarah Logan to Raw. They were about to use her too, and they're keeping her alive in a storyline. So that's another one that was cut. When you cut people, when you fire people, I don't think anyone's clamoring to get back into their workspace. Like, oh, I can't wait to go back to work for a company that just fired me and left me on the streets, especially during these times, you know, when there's so much going on in the world and so much uncertainty. That's why I feel like I know they're still getting paid and stuff, but some wrestlers already started their own t-shirt. They really moved on, like legitimately. But to have Sarah Logan's name and storylines, if you would want to clear their names off that you wouldn't even met. Hey, Roman Reigns isn't even being mentioned and he's employed right now. Okay. Yeah. So when we look at a Drake Maverick getting extra opportunities, extra screen time, there's something going on there that doesn't sound normal after an employer fires.
Comes the last word.
I mean, I kind of, Jim swayed me a little bit. I mean, if you think about it, everyone's kind of crapping all over WWE for firing all these people when they have billions in the reserve and all that stuff. And they have all these projections to make all this money. So why would they show a video of Drake crying to only make themselves look more evil other than if it was a work? So I think Jim just swayed my mind. I think he might be right. It could be a work just to keep him in the company and use it as a storyline. Let's not forget, it's the same company that used what, Muhammad Hassan to do a terrorist line after 9/11 happened. So I mean, we can't put anything past WWE, you know.
Yeah, I will always remember the first time I agreed with Jim. It was a very dark day. But moving on, we actually had more cruiserweight action.
Kushida. It's crossed out on your calendar.
Kushida had a match with the premier athlete Tony Nese. I don't know about you guys, because I know, time splitter. I know Jim is not the biggest fan of Kushida, but I thought that was his most complete performance I saw in a while. Hit hard. His submission hold got put over in my mind. Jim, I want to start with you with this, because I know you're like a Kushida detractor. Thoughts about the match and Tony Nese in the second cruiserweight match tonight?
I'm not a Kushida detractor. I just don't think they're promoting him properly or making good use of him. Tonight was literally the best I've seen of Kushida since he signed onto the roster. Literally, I think it's the best you see him in the ring, and he got his, like you said, the finisher was over really nicely. I don't know if Tony Nese made him look good too, probably in a lot of ways too. You got to give him credit for it. But I think Kushida, this is what you wanted from the beginning, and finally he goes over someone who was a cruiserweight champion a year ago, right? Someone that's somewhat legitimate, not just some guy like you know, Jake Atlas or something that we haven't heard of really, or just signed. So I feel like this was a good showing for Kushida. He should have gone over. He did. He looked good in it. So hopefully they just keep on building on that. It's not a one-off.
I just want to interject here. For those of you who are watching the chat, yes, we're aware that Jake Atlas is a big superstar in the Southern California scene, but your history gets wiped clean when you're signed to the E. That's what Jim's referring to. We're not knowledgeable. I'm just putting it out there. Emily, I wonder if
you're watching you in a bar that's not really being over. So
there's still the chat is still chatting about Drake right now. So
but thoughts about the Tony Nese Kushida match.
You know, I'm gonna have to mark this on my calendar. I kind of agree with Jim that I feel like I feel like this was a very complete performance by Kushida. I feel like he's really great at submissions, and he showed that tonight, and he had the ability to really kind of do those moves that he's really, really good at. And so I feel like this was a really good showcase for him. And I'm still like trying to figure out where they're going to put him, and if this is the moment where he can be the interim cruiserweight champion. If he's the person that will take it all the way.
Sure. Hamza, I don't want your opinions on the match, but I also want to ask you as a professional wrestler, talk about the submission idea for a professional wrestler to go, I'm going to go for the guy that taps out or passes out or whatever. I mean, what's the psychological behind that? Like, what makes that stand out on a roster as opposed to having a devastating super kick or something like that?
Submissions are a lot more fun, in my opinion, because you get to work a body part and you get to wear that body part out throughout the whole entire match in hopes to lock your submission in. It's also, if you do it right, it can really crescendo and make your match kind of elevate to really, really a high spot without taking any dives off the top ropes or any type of flips or anything like that, just by simply putting on a submission. I think every wrestler should have some sort of submission under their belt, because it's rare to be able to use your submission to win over an opponent, because it can make you look super strong over a pin, over anything else. A submission is the number one thing to make you look strong. So having a strong submission in your arsenal is hands down one of the must-haves for any wrestler, in my opinion. And in fact, if you're not doing a submission, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah. Gotcha. But the match itself, that it wasn't effective in Kushida's case?
Oh, absolutely. And I think he worked it well. I mean, you guys already mentioned it. There was a great match. I think I realized one thing about Kushida is that I wasn't a big fan of his, and not that I don't like him or anything like that, but I never really watched him. But every time I see him on TV, I sit there and I start watching his match, and I get into it, and I like watching his performances. And I think that's what you have to do, right? Be able to pull in a new audience. I also realized that his little thing is not time travel. That's how he controls the lights for his entrance. Because every time he does this, the lights go on. So that's probably what it
nice.
Is.
Can I say, though, Easter egg, his tights had 94, and I thought that was the year he was born. But no, that was the year Time Cop came out.
Nice.
But our third cruiserweight match was actually my least favorite of the night. We had Jack Gallagher taking on El Hijo del Nuevo Fantasma, King Cuerno from Lucha Underground. I am not sure what was the point, I guess, having Jack and Hijo in their first matchup. We hadn't seen Jack Gallagher in so long. To have El Hijo del Fantasma take so long to put him away kind of put me in a bit of state of concern. Emily May, I'm going to start with you. I know you're familiar with the Lucha Underground style. How did El Hijo del Fantasma work with Jack Gallagher tonight?
Yeah, so I had to go back and kind of watch this a little bit more closely, because you have two very different styles. You know, I know you've watched Gallagher in 205, and then, you know, the Lucha style is very different. And so having these two guys go against each other, I felt like for Fantasma, you're right, it took him too long to get to where he was. And I feel like this is his debut match. And I felt like if he's gonna take the win, he should have had like better offense. And I felt like he wasn't really bringing that to the table. And I feel like it fell flat in the end, in my opinion.
Jim, holla at me, man.
Yeah. Fantasma, what's his name? Fantasma?
No, del Fantasma. The son of the ghost.
Okay, there we go. Well, here's the thing. I haven't seen him. I don't watch him on indies or anything, but I expect him more high flying. Like, I just felt he's up there in age. They said he's a 20-year veteran, right? So, I mean, the guy's been around. Mm-hmm. I just felt he works too slow of a style for a Lucha. You know, he's big, or granted, he's not small like Rey Mysterio, but I just feel he's very kind of more brawler like than a high flyer. He had only like two spots that seemed high flying at all. I just wasn't impressed. I thought that, you know, here's a guy that I didn't know much about. I expected some good things to happen or someone they're going to push, but I don't see what you can do with him when he doesn't seem that impressive in a ring. And that should be his number one go-to thing. So I was more actually taken back by Jack Gallagher. Mm-hmm. I thought his new look and his new kind of persona they're trying to pitch seemed more interesting to me than the guy that they're debuting and promoting. So I'm with you, Flo. I just wasn't impressed by this match much, and I think the hype didn't live up at all.
Did you guys not like the matchup of them? Do you feel like it just wasn't
It was a mixture for me personally. I started to cut you off as I was asking how you felt about the match, but if I can get in here, it was a lot of dissonance things, right? So Jack Gallagher is like all tatted up and all badass, but he's wearing like leopard print. King Cuerno has like this sick logo in Titantron, but his music's like rock. They're going fast and slow. Like, who am I rooting for? Which one do I care to advance? And actually, I didn't care about that much at all. But Hamza, I want your opinion about the match.
Man, I've really liked Jack Gallagher since he's first debuted. He's really, I think, entertaining with his little umbrella stick that he does. But I know he wanted to be taken more serious, so he went, got tatted up, and came back with this rough, like, way of portraying himself. And I'm surprised they're not using him. I feel like they don't see him in that as that guy. And it almost seemed to me he had to slow himself down a bit to have Phantasma keep up with him. And, you know, and for somebody that is going to go over, I personally don't like masked wrestlers to begin with, because you have to sell your emotions, your face. It comes to here. So if you can't do that, then at least you can do is have your high flying or your move set or anything that you do be like superstar status, right? Like Rey Mysterio does. So it felt very flat to me. I can't believe Jack Gallagher didn't even win. Whatever. That was the match for me. Whatever.
Fair enough. But we're moving on. It's now time for my favorite part of the show. It's now time for the King's Court.
All hail
Jim Alexander.
Thank you.
He is the best, most honest.
That's not a British woman.
Wrestling commentator on earth
ever. Neil, thank you to the King. Neil. Oh, Neil for the King of Athens. Got it. There we go.
Who's Neil? Busy.
I don't know. I know. Right. Here's the thing. I do know that the King's Court has been busy, as you guys heard on Monday. We have new debuts. We have new. And listen, someone's rising up the ranks in the King's Court. And that is absolutely who stole my imagination tonight. It was Chelsea Green. And she is invited straight up to the King's Court, right to the top alongside Liv Morgan right now, because we have Mandy Rose in suspension due to hanging out with gremlins, but we have Chelsea Green for sure. I was about to let in Candice LeRae, but after this look, I don't know what I'm seeing anymore. The gothic Candice LeRae did not get the entrance, but we will get the, I saw again 2 weeks in a row, the Burger King Nuggets girl. She's never tried Nuggets at Burger King, but she's welcome to bring him on to the King's Court. And of course, Mackenzie Mitchell tonight. So that's a pretty big slate right here. Alexa Bliss, Charlotte Flair for the second time. That's big news right there. Charlotte Flair is winning me over slowly. So King's Court's getting packed right now.
Can I say that a year from now, when someone sees this episode, I'm like, what Nugget Girl? What the hell was this guy talking about?
Remember her. Remember her. Burger King commercial.
Just moving on real quick. It's now time for a segment I have to call the Lockdown Playlist. If you're like me, you like NXT, but you can't leave your house, I want to give you a recommendation. This one comes from December 11, 2014. TakeOver Revolution, an old school one. We're going way back with the Lucha Dragons taking on the Vaudevillains. Remember them? Oh, that was a dope gimmick. I kind of wish it stuck around longer than it had. You know, Balor and Hideo Itami teamed together, which is worth the price of admission. And in the main event, you had Sami Zayn against Adrian Neville for the NXT title. So if you have the chance today on the network, make sure you go back and check out NXT TakeOver Revolution. Now, speaking of people that are somehow in a King's Court, let's talk about the women's division.
Yes.
Because the first match of the night tonight was a tag team match. Player Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Knox taking on the team of Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. Raquel Gonzalez obviously gets to win because she is the beast of that division. But I'm concerned of all the four women, Tegan Knox is getting kind of like lost by the wayside. I want to talk to you, Emily May. You are the co-host of Women's Wrestling Weekly. All four women are amazing talents, but is one or more in danger of disappearing?
Yeah, you know, this is, I actually really enjoyed this match tonight, but I think you're right. There is that balance that you need to give when you are bringing someone forward and trying to push them up, that the others don't get lost. And here I feel like they're pushing Raquel, which is great. And I feel like she's a beast. I feel like she's gonna be a contender for a championship title match eventually. But I just don't want Tegan Knox to get lost, because she's an incredible talent. And you know, Shotzi Blackheart is getting an incredible moment lately. And I feel like that's going to continue. I feel like she's going to continue to get her push. And I feel like it was an incredible match tonight. I feel like they all did amazingly well. And I feel like they all complimented each other.
Hamza, Shotzi Blackheart took the pin. She was pinned today. Of course, they're going to have her around for a lot of reasons. She's great, and there's a lot of talent there in play. But what's the upside here? You know, we have Shotzi Blackheart. She was doing all okay on her own, has a little tank, teams up with Tegan Knox, gets the loss. What happens now?
Shotzi is kind of like Liv Morgan, in my opinion. I feel like she's so likable, and just everyone wants to get to know her and just watch her do her thing, that a loss isn't going to hurt her. I don't think it will.
Yeah.
I think it did the job right. They made Raquel look strong. She even caught Tegan off a crossbody. She kind of mishapped it, but still caught her, which is really tough to do. I feel like they did what they had to do in this. Tegan Knox is the bigger of the two baby faces, right? The most known baby face. So obviously she's there to make everyone look good because she has to take the L. That's why it's making Raquel look good. Overall, I thought it did what it needed to do. I didn't see anything wrong with it. I don't feel like it's gonna hurt those ladies because they have been doing so well. Mm-hmm. And I also realized what Shotzi Blackheart reminds me of. She reminds me of Sucker Punch, the movie, the girl off of that, mixed with Green Day.
I was gonna say Tank Girl, but that works too. Jim Alexander, thoughts of the match.
Don't you ever compare Hamza that to Liv freaking Morgan, okay? The queen.
Oh, big fight here.
Legend, the legend of the King's Court. Liv Morgan is a star, okay? Shotzi Black just rides in a little children's scooter that looks like a tank, okay? We cannot compare someone like that.
Dope scooter, though. I wish I had a scooter like that.
It was pretty cool, actually. It was pretty cool. As far as it, here's the thing. I've been saying this for weeks. Break them up. We can't see. No one's getting over here. If you have Raquel and Dakota Kai together, they could be a good duo together. They could be like a team slash bodyguard, you know, thing going on there. They could get over that way. They need to separate Tegan from Dakota because it's just not, it's going in circles and no one's getting over and no one's getting featured. Dakota and Raquel can be on their own, actually making a mark in for the women's title too, is better than Mia Yim in that sense. And then Tegan Nox is right there. She could, as a solo wrestler, she should be that upper mid card that keeps on rising to get to that title point. And Shotzi, let her like get some wins on her own before to establish her name on her own. I just don't like the pairings. I don't like what you're doing here. This needs to be separated because no one is getting over when it goes to this.
Well, I feel like, Jim, what they're trying to do is, you know, they have Tegan, they have Dakota, and like then they have two kind of newer talent, newer wrestlers kind of pairing with someone, with two people that have been there for a long time, have had their shot, have had multiple opportunities on television. So it makes sense that right now they're trying it out with these pairings to see how they work together with people, how they work with the tag team, and then they can strategize and figure out, okay, how do we break them apart? Because they're not official team yet. How can we kind of give them their singles time in the ring?
Let's not forget NXT is for development of new wrestlers, right? They have to force themselves to go onto TV just because of the competition, but that's what it's there for. Don't forget that.
You know what? It's funny you say that, Hamza, because wrestling host Jack Farmer and I argue all the time. He agrees with you. He says NXT is a developmental brand, and I'm totally drinking the company Kool-Aid and saying third brand. And I'll say it to blue in the face. But let's talk about development in the women's division. Mia Yim gets the formal challenge from Charlotte Flair, which is kind of weird because they did mention Io Shirai is the number one contender, but Mia Yim gets the first match with Charlotte Flair. But before that, Mia Yim had a match with the Jessica Maya. It was amazing.
You were freaking out.
This is not a drill, man. Jessica Maya was on TV, and I was happy. I mean, she didn't win, but I was happy. Let's talk about Mia Yim for a second. Okay, she is handpicked by Charlotte Flair. Last week, we talked about whether or not she was worthy enough. Doesn't matter. The ship has sailed. Should she have dispatched Kamea quicker? Hamza.
I mean, they need to make her look stronger, man. I just don't believe her going up against Charlotte. It's I'm gonna pull a Jim here and say it reminds me of a Make-A-Wish Foundation, right?
That is the Jim thing. Yeah,
that is.
Yeah. Wow, that's such a Jim thing to say.
That's such a Jim thing to say. I felt like Jim when I thought it, you know, and that's why I was like, I don't know. I don't know how to buy this. Come on, like to me, Charlotte Flair is my Goldberg. Charlotte Flair needs a big rival for it to be good. I don't care how much she needs to develop somebody. I don't care who needs help. I don't care if they're best friends and she helped her out when she was out of gas back in the day. Mia Yim just does not look like anything other than someone for Charlotte Flair to run through.
No question.
Whoa!
She said it herself. You're a good hand. I thought that was the most truthful part of the promo, which is that's what she is. She, at mid-card, it's her ultimate peak. And I think she's already reached that a few months ago, and there's nowhere to go. They tried hard with her. They gave her a fair shot, I feel, with the promos. They were trying to get her over, and she still couldn't peak in that way. For me, we just talked about Tegan Nox, Raquel. We talked about Dakota Kai. Those are way better competitors for Charlotte Flair than
Jessica Maya. I mean, come on.
Hell, maybe that. Put her over. Why not? Mia. We know what Mia Yim is. We know what she is. She's a finished product. She doesn't look how she looked in that thing. Not only her versus Charlotte, that looked so mismatched, but Charlotte killed her like there with the promo. And Mia Yim just kind of giggles and smiles. Like you just saw discrepancy in someone with way more talent than someone who's not at their level. And I felt that even in that short little promo, it rang true and it looked like it didn't feel right. I don't know why this is happening. I don't get it.
I would say that Mia Yim has like a softer style, a softer promo style than Charlotte, obviously. So it was a very contrasting, just personality wise, of them doing this promo. And it felt like she was saying, like Mia Yim was like, oh, I would be honored to be in the ring. And I feel like if you're going against the queen of queens, and you know, you'd want to be a little bit tougher. You'd want to be a little bit more intimidating. But I didn't feel that. So
I think her song says HBIC, right? And she did not come off as that. Like, yeah, she comes off with a little bandana on. I don't know if it's for Corona or that's just because she's a gangster, but like,
no, she always comes out that way.
Old Fontana gangsters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Baggy pants. Yeah. I thought she'd be a little bit more hood. Maybe, I don't know, a little toughness to her. Ruggedness, who knows? I don't buy it.
Yeah, I was kind of concerned because I think the commentary started putting Jessie over, saying, hey, she's the same kind of build and shape as Charlotte. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you're going to tell me that this is a warm-up match for Mia and Jessie is a scrub because she came off the street, then she should have totally destroyed Jessie. But Jessie hung in with Mia Yim, which says a lot about the new crop of women coming up in the NXT
development
side.
Because if you have someone coming in and, you know, debuting for the first time and like being on the same level as Mia Yim, who's been here for years, like that tells you who is coming into the women's division and who is training at the PC.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Props to the PC. And if you guys are hiring people, I know Hamza wants a spot, David Christopher wants a spot, Lobo wants a spot, Emily wants a spot. Okay, so before we get to our main event tonight.
I'll watch the windows.
Yeah, exactly. I got a spot, baby. What's all that? Let's talk about that promo with Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae. So they are now a unit. They had a promo, assuming at their house. I was a bit confused. I felt like I got two different kinds of villains mixed in one. I got the cold, calculated, I'm having a meal with my wife, I'm the mastermind. But then they were both cracking like, no one gives me respect. I don't really know what to take of that. Jim, I'm going to ask you, because you're our story guy here. You know, you watch these films, you do the whole award season thing. What hit and what missed in this promo?
Well, clearly not much hit, but if anything hit, it was Candice. Because, like I said, it's such a tough thing to do because, first of all, they changed her look. I agree with that. They went with the wrong look, though, because she should have had jet black hair. And now she looks like a punk rock kind of a thing, which doesn't fit the mold at all. I don't know what they did with the whole bluish gray. It was weird. It didn't look like anything she would do. If she wanted to go for a heel, like, just jet black hair. That's it.
Why does she have the chain and Johnny can be the same? That is sexism. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
Listen, it's a better look than what it is right now. So for me, it's just like Johnny, once again, he can't even cut a promo when he's got a delicious meal in front of him, much less what gives you hope he will ever cut a promo any other time. The guy just can't. But the thing is, it's so forced when he tries to cut a promo. Like, he's trying so hard to be heel. The worst thing you can do to this guy is try to turn him heel, because he can't. He struggles as is as a face. But if you make him talk extendedly as a heel would, he just gets lost in a shuffle. It just looks weak and unprepared. Not saying that he didn't prepare. It just doesn't look like it hits home at all. I think Candice's promo was a lot more, at least, mysterious or intriguing or something that you pay attention more to when she was talking than when Johnny was talking. So for me, the biggest takeaway from this was this a made meal? Was this a meal that they ordered? Did Candice actually cook? Because that was the biggest interest, because it looked damn good what they were eating.
Okay. Hamza, thoughts about that from a wrestling perspective, right? Here's a chance for you to try a new direction of character. I mean, what did work in your opinion and what didn't work as far as this promo?
I always try to put myself in people's positions, especially performers in any aspect, right? And I love when you do comedy as well, stand-up comedy. And you know that one night you can say a joke and it hits home and everyone loves it. And the next night nobody laughs. And that's kind of how I felt about this. It's like, I think they were trying something. I want to give them a chance to really take it home and try it. If they're going to do it, I want them to really commit to it and do it. Not like the whole Mojo Riley thing where he would sit behind and have paint on his face and talk to himself and be gone for months on end, right? So if they're going to go for it, I want them to really go for it. It can really work. I'm going to give them a pass because it was the first time.
Okay, yeah. For sure. Emily?
I mean, I feel like this is the first time that they're kind of trying to create this like kind of heel turn, I guess, with both of them. They're like teaming together, really. And I felt like they're I liked like the look of it, because you're wondering where it's going, because you're like, okay, is he going to talk, because it showed the wedding photo, and they're like, okay, it has to be about the wedding day, but no, it's going to be about something else. And it could have, I feel like it could have been a little bit more direct and a little bit shorter and more succinct. And if I feel like if they did that, I feel like it would have went over a little bit better. But what I'm curious about is how they're going to move this into the storyline of overall NXT matches and how they're going to strategically plan this out. And so I was just trying to think about, okay, if they want to be the reigning couple of NXT, how is that going to work? And also another thought I had was, what if they start fighting? What if there's a moment there where they don't get along? Maybe there's like a moment of a lost ego or something like that. And so I think there's a lot of potential there and a lot of fun that they could have. That's what I saw tonight.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not even sure.
Fun at our expense.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're going to hit the main event scene. But speaking of our main event, this one here was like the definition of overbooking, but in a good way. So Balor and Velveteen Dream had a match, but Balor was not around for whatever reason. And Velveteen Dream decides to go after an undisputed era. Then Keith Lee jumps in, and then now it's a tag team match player. Keith Lee, Velveteen Dream, and the undisputed era. Damon Priest, who had his own promo earlier tonight, hits your boy with the nightstick, and now he's out. But Dex Lumis shows up being like, help me. Now, Jim Alexander, since you and Dexter are like this.
That's my boy.
Explain this to me. I thought last week he was going to be the heel of heels, but he's helping out the Dream?
That's right. My boy, listen, it's all about featuring him right now. That's what I love about him, because a character like this is so mysterious, and you can't plot his moves. You don't know what he is. So one week he can be a heel. One week he can act like a face. It's all a setup. Listen, I'm guessing the murders in the movies, they probably come off as faces in a lot of ways until they turn heel, right? So this is the way you book. Whoever's booking this angle must be a big fan of horror and thriller movies, because they're booking us the right way. I love the use of Dexter. He comes out the most interesting in this match, because right now we look at Velveteen, there's no direction with him, and it's not his fault, because it just, things are not working out the way they should be. They somehow flopped the whole Adam Cole angle, then the whole thing with Balor didn't turn out well apparently, because they're still holding on to the thing with Walter. So now bringing in Dexter to equation freshens up everything, because it just adds intrigue and mystery. One thing we have going on in NXT right now is intrigue and mystery, and it comes from Scarlett and Cross, and we getting it from Dexter. Those are two most interesting
factions. The Lucha van, the Lucha abduction van is also.
Yeah, there was that during the commercial. Yeah.
But it's still, what the hell is that? Definitely a question.
Yeah,
but
Loomis, I mean, that's adding Loomis intrigue.
Yeah. Emily, any thoughts about the main event and the play between the characters?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still not quite on board with Dexter, you know, Loomis right now. I'm still trying to figure out.
Get on board.
I know. I see your look, guys.
All right,
I get
Vince.
It.
Damn it.
Get
on board. Oh.
No, and I am super supportive. I totally see something there. It's going to be it's this like creepy serial killer kind of thing. There's a lot there, and I see it sprouting, and I see these little bits of really good storytelling moments. I see these great moments in the ring, but I feel like there's something more bubbling under the surface, and I feel like it could be like up another notch. And so that's what I'm feeling. I need to be fully on board. I need to fully see Dexter Lumis like fully put it out there. And I think
three weeks like over.
You can't tell me, oh, Io the Phantasma not getting over. Dexter Lumis needs time.
3 weeks, yeah. You're like giving him the belt already.
What the hell, man?
I wouldn't be opposed to that. He's the most over guy in the roster right now.
Whatever. No. I like him, but no. That's not. Humza, help me out here, man.
Yeah. Humza, help us, please.
Phantasma with that abduction man was me whenever my Uber shows up with other people inside of it, right? Get back in there and get out of there.
I'm like, get out of there.
And Loomis is one of those guys I wish falls victim to WWE's name change, because that last name does not make him threatening at all. Dexter Lumis, it kind of comes off a little weird to me.
Well, it sounds like a serial killer. It does. It has that. True.
Dexter, the TV series, right?
Well, Dexter,
he's looming.
He's looming. There we go. I didn't get it. Like, he wasn't in the match. Then they threw him into the match. The rules went out the window. Damian Priest showed up. I like Damian Priest, but he's basically Mia Kim for the male division right now, right? And
is this Mia Kim or Yim?
No, the same.
Let's just take everything we have left in the back. Who else is here today? All you guys, go out there and put on a show. And I think that's just what happened. I feel like this probably was thrown together just to be a little bit fun, to end on a high note, give everyone a little bit of excitement. They didn't really care much for the rules here. They just kind of did what they had to do.
Yeah, it was like, if I was an officiant, I would be fired. You just let some guy get injured, replace him, it's all good.
But I like those like surprise moments that happened of people just showing up. And it felt like they were like, all right, let's make this interesting. It's not going to be a normal main event. And so I could appreciate that people were still trying to surprise the fans.
True. I thought he was going to join the Undisputed Era, but that makes sense too. It's about
Hell
time.
No.
For,
don't
kill I thought he was, because his eyes look like the classic.
Don't kill him.
Are they
going like
to brainwash him? Are they going to brainwash him and make him...
No, they're all going to end up dismembering the freezer somewhere. Okay, look, it's all time for me to get out of here, man. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the NXT After Show. We're back here next week. And if you're still here at AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports, check out the AEW After Show, which comes on after this. Jim Alexander, where can we find you online?
Listen, you can find me at The Jim Alexander. Since we didn't touch on it, I have plenty of thoughts on Chelsea Green poolside. So hit me up and I can write a whole story on it, okay? On
real quick, what do you think? Real quick, we got time, real quick. What do you think?
Loved it. I thought it was one of the best promos I've seen in months. I thought it was so over. It made her look like $1 million. Robert Stone doing his job. I thought it was just a great promo. Heel, and she is popping. Love it.
Real right. Emily.
Oh my gosh, I want to shout. Find you online. Yeah, so you can all find me on Twitter and Instagram and all over the place at Emily May Heller. And thank you all. The chat was on fire tonight. So thank you all so much. Leave some comments, subscribe, give us some 5 stars. We love your support.
I know you. And Hamza, man.
She said, give us some 5 stars. What are we, Uber now? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, we need them. We need all the stars we can get.
On all social media, man, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Hamza_Mania, Hamza, H-U-M-Z-A, Mania, M-A-N-I-A, as well as Nox Pro. As soon as this COVID stuff is over, hopefully in June, we'll continue doing our matches. Check us out in Los Angeles, Nox Pro Wrestling Academy.
Yep, and of course, I'm the guy that bought the only Apollo Crew shirt ever sold. It's your boy, Flo Beato. Follow me on Twitter, at FloBoBoys, on Instagram, is that Dean Ambrose? At Instagram, at FloBeato, FloBeato.com. Support the homie and buy a t-shirt at FloBeato.threadless.com. And I am also on Patreon, Patreon.com/FloBoBoys. But until next time, buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.